I'm Tony Hendra.
And I'm Jeff Kreisler.
And this is the final edition Radio Hour.
30 minutes of sizzling satire with teeth.
The following message is brought to you by the Republican effort to totally revamp ourselves in 2014. Or Retro 2014.
I am black.
I am gay.
And I am Latino.
We're the new Republicans.
Hey, my black friend. You are African American all the time. Tell the people why you are Republican, why don't you?
Glad to, my same-sex friend. I am a smaller government guy, who is also a black guy.
And I am a part of a growing group of Spanish-type people.
We're the new Republicans!
As a Latino man, I'm not going to deport myself.
I no longer wish to deport you, only to discriminate against you in more socially acceptable ways.
As do I, my fellow minorities. I am gay, but I feel gay marriage should be between a man and a woman.
We're the new Republicans!
I think evolution might be true.
I think facts might be true.
Global warming is still not true.
We're the new Republicans!
As a black man, I no longer believe in not helping black people.
I am gay. I am here. Get used to it.
I speako Spanish.
Now America has a real choice.
It's like the choice between Oreos and Hydrox.
Vegas and Atlantic City.
Type 1 diabetes and type 2 diabetes.
We're the new Republicans!
Are we off?
That was pretty good.
I'm going to be the gay guy next time.
And now a message from President Obama and Amazon CEO Jeff Bezos.
My fellow shop Americans, as you know, Jeff Bezos is charismatic, but creepy and bald.
I'm like a cross between Dr. Evil and Poindexter from Felix the Cat.
He laughs inappropriately and scares the living crap out of people. He has destroyed the bookstore as we know it, popularized a banana peeler, and is now selling literally everything.
In my spare time, I bought the Washington Post, and I don't even read it.
That's not even funny, but he laughs like a hyena.
A hyena with $25 billion? Tell them about my new plan.
See, I'm the president, and he's telling me what to do. This online Lex Luthor has unveiled his newest unnecessary innovation, Amazon Prime Air.
Drones will fly Amazon products right to your door.
These non-union Klingon delivery bots will be used mainly to ship online crap.
And only partly to help the CIA target ordinary Americans in their own homes.
He doesn't have the right to fly these things under the Constitution.
But I do have the right under the new Kindle Constitution.
Ordinarily, drones are used for peaceful purposes, like inadvertently killing civilians.
So it's possible that Amazon's drones might get you, but we're offering free shipping on all deaths over $35.
Why, with savings like that, you can't afford not to die.
At Amazon, checking out is as easy as checking out.
You know, Syria's President Bashar al-Assad isn't this creepy. Thank you, and God drone America.
Amazon Prime Air, coming soon to the country formerly known as the United States.
This is the final edition Radio Hour.
Tonight, the adventures of Alec in Wonderland. Alec, the American Legislative Exchange Council, a gang of conservative state legislators who push for laws that benefit the corporations who fund them, was beginning to get very tired of sitting by its friend Ted Cruz at the bank. Suddenly, a white rabbit with pink eyes ran close by, saying,
"Oh dear, oh dear, I shall be late!"
The rabbit took a watch out of its waistcoat pocket, looked at it, and hurried on. And Alex started to her feet, for it flashed across her mind,
"I could probably kill the talking rabbit and take the watch."
So she chased the rabbit across a field and down a long conservative rabbit hole. When she finally landed, she found a tiny door, through which she could see a set of concerns so narrow and self-interested that she thought,
"How shall I ever be able to enter if I'm supposed to represent a broad constituency?"
But fortunately, on a nearby table, she found a little bottle of Kool-Aid, labeled "Drink Me." Alex stopped to make sure the bottle was not marked poison, and even though it, in fact, was poison, it was not marked as such. So, what the hell?
"What a curious feeling,"
said Alec after she drank the Kool-Aid. For soon, her political base was only 10 inches high, and her public approval rating was in the single digits. Beyond the door, she found a large table with the March Hare, the Mad Hatter, and the Dormouse all sitting at the far right end.
No room.
"There's plenty of room. The entire left side of the table is empty."
"There is no left side of anything. There is only the right."
"What happens to people after we take away their social security?"
"Oh, I'm glad you've begun asking riddles. I believe I can guess that."
"Do you mean that you think you can find out the answer to it?"
"Exactly so."
"Then you should say what you mean."
"I do. At least I mean what I say. That's the same thing, you know?"
"Not the same thing a bit. For instance, here's a piece of legislation called the Resolution on Country of Origin Labeling. Can you guess what it does?"
"Does it make sure food labels show the country of origin?"
"No, the opposite. It resists implementing those kinds of requirements for meat producers and processors."
"Their jobs are hard enough."
"And how about the Public Employee Choice Act?"
"Does it help public employees?"
"No! It means employees can choose not to pay their union. Soon no one pays. Unions go out of business. Workers have no leverage. Salaries drop. Everybody wins!"
"Except the public employees!"
"And anyone who uses their services."
"And the economy in general."
"But we win!"
"Change places!" "And how about our Energy, Environment, and Agriculture Task Force? Guess who's on it?"
"Well, it has environment in the name. Does it have environmentalists?"
"Nope. Coal and energy groups."
"Including two people who gave a talk called Warming Up to Climate Change, The Many Benefits of Increased Atmospheric CO2.
And what do you think the Medicaid Block Grant Act would do?"
"It sounds like it would add money to Medicaid, so that means..."
"It would take it away."
"Have you guessed the riddle yet?"
"What happens to people after we take away Social Security?"
"Oh, I don't know. What's the answer?"
"I haven't the slightest idea."
"Nor I."
"And who cares, really?"
"Yeah. Screw 'em."
"Hey, March Hare, think fast."
"You bashed the March Hare's head in."
"Sweet. Got the watch."
"Change places!"
Be with us next time when Alec goes through the looking glass and everything becomes the opposite.
Hey, corporations are the real victims here.
Change places!
Welcome once again to the Final Edition Radio Hour's Parallel Universe Theater. Tonight, Happiness is a Warm Gun, narrated by Walter Cronkite.
The date, September 8th, 2013. The place, West 72nd Street, outside the legendary Dakota, on New York's Tony Upper West Side. The time, early evening. It's cold, and people are hurrying home from work, anxious to be inside and warm. The Dakota's doorman, Ernie, huddles over the space heater in his little gatehouse, hoping the residents won't be needing too many cabs tonight.
What the fuck?
Fuck this fucking gate!
It's John Lennon, long recovered from the minor flesh wound inflicted by deranged fan Mark David Chapman exactly 43 years ago on December 8th, 1980. He's coming down from the vast apartment in the Dakota he has shared with Yoko Ono for more than 40 years. Lennon is stooped, obese, balding, with few remaining strands of his once iconic hair pulled back in a stringy, greasy ponytail.
Ernie! Ernie!
Yes, Mr. Lennon?
You got a gun?
No, Mr. Lennon.
Fuck! Hey, you! Got a gun?
No, I do not have a gun. Get away from me.
Everyone in New York's got a gun, don't they? Come on! You gotta have a gun!
Let go of me! Crazy person!
Hasn't anyone got a gun? Where's fucking Chapman when you need him?
Hey, pal, I got a carry permit. Ruger 30-odd. You in danger? You need assist? Hey, aren't you John Lennon?
And the short, fat, balding rock legend sinks to his knees, arms outstretched.
Shoot me, man. For Christ's fucking sake. I can't take it anymore. 40 years of that fucking anime schoolgirl voice. Those fucking stupid fucking shades. She sleeps in those fuckers. Now she's doing fucking fashion for men. At 80 fucking years old. Look at these pants she makes me wear.
Ooh, is that a big cartoon hand on the crotch? At your age? Gross.
So kill me. Shoot me dead. Right here in the ear. I'm begging you.
Sorry, John. No can do. You're my favorite Beatle.
Oh, God. No, no. Come back. No.
Come on, Mr. Lennon, sir. Back upstairs where we belong, okay? No more scenes or Mrs. Ono will be on my tail, okay? There we go. Jesus! Every fucking year!
This has been another episode of the Final Edition Radio Hour's Parallel Universe Theater. Next week, Hitchens in Heaven, the first year of celebrated British atheist Christopher Hitchens' afterlife.
Nobody can do me no harm!
Coming any day now, it's a Charlie Brown Shutdown.
Linus, I know I should be excited about the economy, but I just don't feel up to it.
What's wrong, Charlie Brown? Are you unemployed? In debt? Unable to make ends meet?
All those things, Linus. Plus, I feel bad. From my round head to the black squiggle across my chest.
You know what you need, Charlie Brown? Obamacare.
Good grief! Who's running that? Lucy? It keeps getting pulled away, like a football.
Did you try the website in Kentucky?
What's the use, Linus? I'll never get health insurance.
Boy, Charlie Brown, you sure are a pre-existing condition.
Look, Linus, who's that grown-up?
It's Texas Senator Ted Cruz.
What's he saying?
He wants to shut down our Christmas play. He says Jesus was a dirty socialist.
Ah! Can't anyone tell me the true meaning of the Tea Party?
I can tell you, Charlie Brown. Lights, please. And an African American was elected president. And the white people who saw this as an end to their hegemony were sore afraid. And on the president's picture, they drew pictures of Hitler mustaches and said he was from Kenya and yelled, "You lie," during his State of the Union address and shut down the government, including the National Zoo's panda cams. all because they didn't want a black guy in the White House.
A Charlie Brown shutdown from the people who brought you Happiness is a Warm Gun Lobby.
Hark, extremists obstructing, blocking, legislating. Tea Party, all full of bile. Logic can't be reconciled. Defund laws that have been passed. Filibuster like an ass. With moronic thoughts of ideas from the Koch brothers. Hark, the federal hijacking. Goodbye, democracy. Hello, Steve King.
In an exciting development, the final edition has gained access to the recently discovered lost diaries of Jack Ruby. Yes, that Jack Ruby. We now bring you some excerpts in their entirety.
September 26, 1960. My heart is a flutter. Oh, I'm like a little Shiksa girl on the morning of Christmas Eve. After I may or may not have broken a lowlife's leg behind my club because he owed a friend money, I turn on the TV for the presidential debates to decompress after a leg breaking. There I came across a man who I need to take a motorcycle ride with. No, not Richard Nixon. Don't be silly, Diary. That guy looks like a stale prune hamantaschen. No, I'm talking about Massachusetts Senator John Fitzgerald Kennedy. Those eyes. That swagger. That accent. Diary, I tell you this right now. This Teamster is A-OK with JFK. November 8th, 1960. He did it, Diary. He did it. Our JFK is taking the day. Oh, how I prayed. And he had his say. Like a vault, Diary. This guy gives me so much spilkus, I can't stop rhyming. I gotta calm down. But he makes me so nervous. You know what I mean, Diary? You know, I broke a mook's nose today who didn't make good on a bet. And all I could think was, do you think President Kennedy would ever be into a guy like me? October 28, 1962. Ha! JFK, you gorgeous man. You showed those Ruskies who's boss. Nobody puts nuclear missiles in Cuba, and I mean nobody, Diary. Oh, I just want to run through a meadow with JFK and teach him Yiddish folk songs. He would sing them back to me in his kind of Boston accent. You know, it's like a Boston accent, but filled with money. Then we would sit in a pond together while I gently washed his chest. And I guarantee you, Diary, I would be the first one to blink as well. November 21st, 1963. He's coming to Dallas, Diary. He's coming to Dallas. Oh, I'm just like a little boy on the eighth day of Hanukkah. Or a strip club owner who finds out his girls are willing to go into the back room for extra dough. Oh, I can't believe I'm going to see him. I got to get a press pass. How hard can it be, Diary? I'm just going to say, give me a press pass. I'm a goddamn reporter for one of your business news. And they'll give me one, and I'll be within feet of JFK. Oy vey, oy vey. Oh, there I go, Diary, rhyming again. Maybe, just maybe, I'll get to shake his hand. But first, a motorcade. November 22nd, 1963. No. Oh, my hopes and dreams have vanished, Diary. Vanished. He's gone, Diary. He's gone. This Lee Harvey Oswald has stolen my joy. Even though JFK looked like he was shot from the front, I know this Oswald character did it. I can't go on, Diary. And I feel nothing for Vice President Johnson. I'm not into him. I know what I have to do, Diary. I have to get another press pass. I'm going to get close to this Oswald. Maybe I'll shake his hand with my revolver. I'm going to shoot him, Diary. That's what I'm saying. Oh, my JFK!
Thank you.
into This Week in Canada. 2 weeks behind the world, eh? With us are Neil Young, Joni Mitchell, Kiefer Sutherland's grandfather, and embattled Toronto Mayor Rob Ford. Mayor Ford.
Sorry, I was eating.
Speaking of eating, in a recent press conference, you said you wouldn't eat a staffer's pussy because you got enough to eat at home. What's that all about?
I never said that. I said I have more than enough to eat at home.
I have a question about that.
Yes, father of Canadian socialism, Kiefer Sutherland's grandfather.
Is there just enough pussy for you, or is it equitably distributed to all Canadian citizens?
Look, I'm happily married. That's why I referred to my wife's vagina in public as food.
Joni Mitchell, is Mayor Ford the worst thing to come out of Canada since Loverboy?
Press an ass who doesn't care and crack cocaine fumes in the air. A moron who should not be mayor. I've looked at Ford that way.
I've seen the mayor and the damage done.
Neil Young.
Oh, he lives on Cocaine Mountain with the groping and the racial slurs.
Mayor, your substance abuse problem is well known. What's all that about?
Come on, I only smoke crack when I'm drunk.
Okay, but the important thing is, were you ever on crack when you watched Argo?
What's all that about?
Hey, I'm a loudish, corrupt, fat bastard who shouldn't be allowed on a Toronto bus, let alone the mayor's office, but I would never be intoxicated for Argo.
Oh, he's okay.
Hey, my. Crackhead mayor can never die.
Oh, you're too kind. I'm probably going to go any day now.
That's our show, eh? 2 weeks behind everyone else. Next time, Canadian Evangeline Lilly from The Hobbit. The Desolation of Smog tells us what desolation is all about.
Oh, Canada, we stand on God.
The following is brought to you by the U.S. Lotto.
But how can you defend the U.S. economy? A few people get crazy rich and nobody else gets a raise in their real income in 45 years. Why do we put up with this?
Because maybe, just maybe, I'll be one of the people who gets rich.
That's right! You could be one of the lucky two or three people who wins the U.S. economy. The odds are astronomical. Oh, but what a payoff! Tell them today's jackpot, Donald Trump.
Today's jackpot in the U.S. economy is an estate of $3.5 billion, which I already have, and a lot of it's inherited. So you're not going to win it.
But you might, and you can't win if you don't play. Plus, you probably also can't win if you do. The U.S. economy. Keep on dreaming.
This message has been brought to you by the U.S. Lotto.
For the final edition radio hour, Will Durst here with the top 10 comedic news stories of 2013. Now, here's the deal. The top 10 comedic news stories of 2013 are in no way to be confused with the top 10 legitimate news stories of 2013. No. They are as different as soybeans and lug nuts, Bluetooth and dental floss, palm fronds and those weird cone-shaped collars that dogs wear to keep them from chewing their butts. These are the stories from the year thus far that most lend themselves to mocking and scoffing and taunting, as determined by the Executive Council of the Comics, Clowns, Jesters, and Satirists Union, which is me. Number 10, Barack Obama leadership skills, like saying Fukushima sushi. Number 9, Anthony Weiner attempts a comeback. Weiner is both his name and the source of most of his problems. Number 8, Pope Francis turns out to be a liberal Democrat, while Pope Benedict keeps busy updating his Christian Mingle profile. Number 7, Edward Snowden runs first to China and then to Russia. Why? To escape government persecution, which is like joining the army because you're tired of people telling you what to do. Number 6, Ted Cruz reads Green Eggs and Ham on the floor of the Senate, then misinterprets the moral of the book. Number 5, Toronto Mayor Rob Ford admits using crack during one of his drunken stupors yes, plural, only to see his approval rating shoot up 5 points. Not saying Obama should do the same thing, but... Number 4, domestic spying revelations. Turns out the best way to keep the NSA from following your every move is by becoming one of its employees. Number 3, Dennis Rodman, roving ambassador. What's next? Mike Tyson, poet laureate? Kim Kardashian, molecular chemistry consultant? Tim Tebow, NFL quarterback? Number 2, the government shuts down and we almost default again. And then you know what happens. We have to move back in with Britain. And the number 1 comedic news story of 2013. The Affordable Care Act website debacle. Most people decide to let the NSA handle the whole thing. After all, they have all the information and probably know which plan best fits. For the Final Edition Radio Hour, I'm Will Durst.
In 1971, John Lennon was interviewed by Rolling Stone while going through primal scream therapy. The interviews were indeed primal screams. Lennon vented for hours about all the things he felt he hated in life. Paul, George, Mick Jagger, his own family. National Lampoon happened to be doing its first album at the time. It was called Radio Dinner. They picked the choicest bits from the interviews, arranged them into a song, and this was the result. Magical Misery Tour.
For your fuckers, tell me what do you know? A lot of faggot middle class kids wearing long hair and trendy clothes. Look, I'm not your fucking parents and I'm sick of upside hippies coming knocking at my door with a fucking peace symbol. Get this back fast. I don't owe your fuckers anything and all I got to say is fuck you. The sky is blue. Mick Jagger, I think the mix a joke with all his stupid faggot dancing. I always did. Wiggling his ass, you know, it's just a lot of bullshit. And where does he come off saying all those tawdry things about the Beatles? When every fucking thing we ever did, we tried to copy. And you know, we even wrote his second fucking record for another stone under the same fucking class as the Beatles. Either music wise or power wise, they never ever were. Paul said he hated Yoko. Tell me, why should Yoko have to take that kind of shit? Shit from those fucking sons of bitches. George said she gave up evil vibes. I should have beat the fucking shit right out of him. Him with his fucking Hare Krishna. Me auntie, she tore up me fucking palms. She just threw the bastards out. I can't forgive her cause she didn't treat me like a fucking genius. Look, you bastards, I'm a genius like Shakespeare and Beethoven and Van Gogh. Don't you dare criticize my work. No, Eric Yoko was one of the fucking best rock and roll records ever made. I'm a fucking artist. I'm sensitive as shit. I throw up before I go on stage. I can make a guitar speak. If I could be a fisherman, I would, but I can't because I'm a fucking genius. I was a walrus. Paul wasn't a walrus. I was just saying that to be nice, but I was actually the walrus. Even that rubbish he's been singing. Eastman was an animal! A fucking stupid middle class pig! I won't let fucking animals like that near me! Yoko is a supreme intellectual! I'll tell you why nobody likes her music! Because she's a woman and she's oriental, that's why! Well, are you, mother? We're trying to crucify me! Genius!
collapse in Iceland!
This episode of the Final Edition Radio Hour was performed by Darby Worley, Barry Lank, John Marshall, Kevin Janis, Jeff Chrysler, and Tony Hendra. It was written by Barry Lank, John Marshall, Rob Gordon, and Tony Hendra. Music to Magical Misery Tour written by John Lennon, lyrics by Chris Cerf. And special thanks to Will Durst for the top 10 comedic news stories of 2013. Be sure to visit thefinaledition.com for more sizzling satire with teeth. While you're there, get details on our first album, which is available for your purchase, The Vinyl Edition. The Final Edition Radio Hour was produced by Jeff Chrysler and Tony Hendra, engineered by Melissa Gerson, and edited by Greg Russ. The Final Edition Radio Hour is a production of The Final Edition, LLC, copyright 2013.